The Alter Rebbe himself was the Baal Kere. The Alter Rebbe himself read from the Torah. During the Kriya, now the Alter Rebbe had not seen this Chassid come in. He had not noticed. At least nobody saw that the Alter Rebbe had seen that he came in. Or nobody had seen him, the Alter Rebbe noticed. But of course, a tzaddik is different than a regular person about what he knows and how he knows it, as you're going to see. And up on the bima was the Sefer Torah, the Alter Rebbe was the Baal Kere, and there was the Gabbai, and a few people over there that were on the bima. And the Gabbai would call up the Aliyahs. He calls up the Kohen, he calls up the Levi. And the Alter Rebbe, he never called anybody to the Torah. The Alter Rebbe was a bit just busy being the Baal Kere. All of a sudden, they got till Chamishi. Chamishi is the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Balak. And all of a sudden, instead of the Gabbai calling up someone for Chamishi, the Alter Rebbe himself, he called out, Yamait, and he called out the name of this Chassid who was sick, who just came into the shul during the davening. And he was near the back. The Alter Rebbe himself called up this Chassid to the Torah. With his first name and with his father's name. By the Aliyah for the Torah, you get called up with your name and your father's name. So the Alter Rebbe himself called the Chassid up with his first name and with his father's name, and he called him up to the Torah. Without looking at him, without looking behind him to the back. The Alter Rebbe calls him up. The Chassid heard his name. Hey, is that me? And the people that knew the Chassid, and they saw him there, they said, the Alter Rebbe called you up to the Torah. With his koyach that he had left, which wasn't too much, he walked up to the bima, and he gave a kush to the Torah, and he said the brachas, he said the bracha before the kriya, and the Alter Rebbe starts reading, starts to lain. And the Alter Rebbe got to a pasuk, and it says, Ki loy nachash b'yakov v'loy kesem b'yisrael, which means there's no witch in the Jewish people, and kesem is also a kind of a witch, a kind of a magic person. This kind of thing is not in the Jewish people. And the Alter Rebbe read the pasuk once, as they usually do. The Baal Kere reads the pasuk, but then the Alter Rebbe, with great kavanah, he read it again. And he read it again. And he read it a few times. He went over the pasuk a few times with very great kavanah. That there's no witch in the Jewish people. And there's no magic and magic people and witches and witchcraft and all of this stuff. This is not in the Jewish people. It has no connection with the Yid. As we know, a witch is something the Torah says is very not good and has to be even killed, right? The punishment for a witch is has to be killed. And a yid should have nothing to do with witchcraft and magic and all of this stuff, because this is not Kedusha. It's the opposite of Kedusha. It's not Helikite. Even if there is some kind of a koyach to it, the koyach comes from the Satan, and it's not Kedusha. Why Hashem put it in the world, it's a whole thing. Why, if Hashem makes everything, this thing is in the world. But it's not a thing for a yid to get involved in. The Alter Rebbe went over and over in this pasuk. And then the yid, after the aliyah, he said the bracha. And then he goes back to his place. As he's walking back to his place, he already started to feel better. He felt much better. He felt strength, he felt koyach, his head felt better, his stomach felt better, his feet felt better. The sickness, it seems, is going away. And during the whole Shabbos, he felt better every minute. Until after Shabbos, he felt so much better. And he went to the Alter Rebbe, because he wanted to tell the Alter Rebbe what was going on. After Shabbos, the Yid went to the Rebbe. He wanted to talk with the Alter Rebbe. And as he went into the Rebbe, he didn't even have to say anything. The Rebbe told him. He says, "Don't worry. You're going to have a complete refuah shlema. You're going to feel just like you did before you got sick. And you should know, like the Pasuk said." Again, he said the Pasuk. The Alter Rebbe repeated the Pasuk again. Ki lo nachash b'Yaakov, v'lo kesem b'Yisrael. There's no witches and no magic things in the Jewish people. And he said it a few times again. And the Alter Rebbe gave him a bracha to go home, and everything is going to be okay. And the next morning, the Yid started going home to his town, to his hotel where he lived. And on the way home, he felt 100% better, just like he was never sick. He felt, of course, the bracha from the Alter Rebbe had come true so fast. And as he got to his town, it was Sunday afternoon, and he noticed that there was a lot of people in the streets. They were talking like something had happened. People, you know, you could see a crowd of people. They're talking. And the Yid comes to the town. People see him. They run over to him. "Oi, did you hear what happened? You were away for Shabbos, right? Did you hear what happened in the town over Shabbos? And by the way, how do you feel? We know when you left town you were not feeling well. How do you feel now?" "Oh, Baruch Hashem, I feel so much better. I feel great. In fact, when I was by my Rebbe, by the Alter Rebbe, some very interesting things happened. I'll tell you about it." So they say, "Okay, tell us about that, then we'll tell you about what happened in the town." "Well, I was very sick. I was kind of worried, you know, what you told me about those witches and everything. And I felt very sick. I knew something was wrong. I went to the doctors. They couldn't figure out what it was. I was afraid maybe those witches are making some kind of chas v'shalom curses, trouble, that were affecting me. And I went to my Rebbe. I was going to tell him everything. I wanted to tell him before Shabbos. I couldn't even move out of Shabbos when I got there. I just had to lay in bed. When I went to shul on Shabbos, my Rebbe called me up for an aliyah in Parshas Balak. And when he got to the pasuk about witches, he started saying it over and over again with a lot of kavanah. And by the time I had my aliyah, I already felt better, like something had happened. I don't know what it was. And then after Shabbos, I went to tell my Rebbe what was going on. I felt a lot better. I didn't say a word. My Rebbe said, everything will be okay. I'm going to have it for a shlema. And everything's going to be fine when I get back. And now I feel great. So that was my Shabbos. What happened over here?" And as the Yid was telling his part what happened, their eyes were popping out of their heads, listening to what he had to say. And now they told him what they had to say. And they said, "You're not going to believe this. When did you have your aliyah? It was Shabbos morning, right? Well, the Alter Rebbe, he davened a little bit later, because they used to learn Hasidus before the davening. And in that town, they also davened, of course, shakers. They davened a little earlier. And the Yidden in that town said, during the time that the Yidden were eating their Shabbos meal after the davening, a very strange thing happened. The Yidden were eating their Shabbos sudas, the fishy, and the chicken, and the kugel, and the cholent, when all of a sudden a very strange thing happened. A pack of wolves are like, you know, very dangerous animals, and sometimes they travel together. A pack of wolves who were in the forest, all of a sudden they came out of the forest, and sometimes they attack the sheep. And a lot of Yidden saw from their windows as they're eating the Shabbos Suda, these wolves, they came out of the forest and they ran on the road towards the town. And they got afraid for their sheep. Now wolves are very dangerous also for people, but usually they don't come to people in their houses. They might come to the sheep, but then, you know, they get scared away. If they're lucky, if they come in the middle of the night, they could eat up the sheep. But If you're in your house, you're usually safe from a wolf. But these wolves, all of a sudden, they went towards the hotel. They went next door to the hotel. Over there was the house of the witches. And a very strange thing happened. They ran into the house. As the Yidden were having their Shabbos meal, it seems that these wolves also wanted to have a meal. I don't know if you call it a Shabbos meal. But they went in the house of the witches, and they had a meal. Because when they came out, in their mouths, you could see some of those black hats, and some of those wands, and some of those fancy kind of coats, and a few crystal balls and different things they were still dragging with them. And when the Yidden, some of them heard, you know, some kind of noises, some kind of screaming. They told the police. They didn't have to call them on the phone. There was no such phone. They just told the police, you know, what had happened. The police came, they checked in the house, and they saw the witches were gone. And they figured out from what was left over there that the wolves had eaten up both of the witches, the husband and the wife. Yeah. And this was exactly the time that the Yid had had his aliyah to the Torah, and the Alter Rebbe was saying, there's no witches. Kiloig Kesen, the pasuk, he said, Kilong Nachash B'Yakov Loi Kesen B'Yisrael. There's no such thing as witches by the Jewish people. There's no magic people by the Jewish people. At that time, the wolves had come out of the forest, and they came, they ate up the witches, and they left, and there was no more witches in that house. And that's the end of the Maise. The Rambam Kimalach passed away in Mitzrayim, because the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim. And before he passed away, he wrote down that he would like to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He does not want to be buried in Mitzrayim. He wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Just like if you remember Yaakov Avinu, who lived in Mitzrayim, and Yosef HaTzadik. They didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. They wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rambam also. And so the Chevra Kadisha, who prepares the Levaya, they get the Rambam ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they put him in a box, and they put him on a camel, that the camel should carry the box. And many, many Yidden now came for the Levaya together with the Rambam's Helika body in the box, and they're going out of Mitzrayim, they're riding out of Mitzrayim towards Eretz Yisrael. Now, the people of Eretz Yisrael also heard the sad news that the Rambam had passed away, because people had ridden very fast on fast horses to go tell the people of Eretz Yisrael that they should also be able to come to the Rambam's Levaya. The people of Eretz Yisrael heard that the Rambam had passed away, and they also heard that he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And everybody asked the question, where in Eretz Yisrael? Which part of Eretz Yisrael? Because there are different places in Eretz Yisrael. And they found out that the Rambam had not said where. Only in Eretz Yisrael, but he did not say where in Eretz Yisrael he wants to be buried. And so Kinalach, before the Yidden went out to the Levaya from Eretz Yisrael, many places had meetings. And they decided, let's have the Rambam be buried where we live. And after all these meetings, they went out to the Levaya. And now all the people that came from Eretz Yisrael came down towards Mitzrayim in order to meet the people coming out of Mitzrayim together with the Rambam. They should all go together with one big Levaya to bury the Rambam. And as soon as the people of Eretz Yisrael met the Levaya coming out of Mitzrayim with the camel, with the box, and inside of the box with the Rambam, they all of a sudden started to argue. They started to argue. Where should the Rambam go in Eretz Yisrael? The people of Yerushalayim that came said, of course the Rambam should be buried in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the Helikishtat. There was the Beis HaMikdash. There are many tzaddikim that are buried in Yerushalayim, and the Rambam should be buried in Yerushalayim. What's the Shaila? And the people of Tzfas, they said, wait a minute. Tzfas is also a Helikishtat. And there's also many shuls, and there's also many Halakha Tzaddikim buried in Tzfas. And the people of Hebron said, what's the Shaila? Hebron is a place where people are buried from before they were buried anywhere else. Adam and Chava were buried the first in Hebron, in Maris HaMachpelah. It's Mamash from the Chumash, a place where there's people buried. And Avram chose it to be his place for Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah and Esav's head. And the people of Miron, they said, what about Miron? Where Shimon Bar Yochai is buried? It's a Halakha place. He should be buried in Miron. Many places in Eretz Yisrael were arguing that the Rambam should be buried in their place. Yosef is buried in Shechem. The people of Shechem said Yosef should be buried there. Every place had some certain reason why, because of its halakhite of being a special place in Eretz Yisrael, that the Rambam should be buried there. And they started arguing back and forth, and they started to forget all about the covet of the Levaya. After all, it's a Levaya. I mean, you shouldn't just be arguing. There's a way to do this that's not just arguing in front of the Rambam's box right there. The Rambam is right there. And they're arguing. Is this covet? But of course, everybody got caught up in what they wanted and what they were saying. And they were getting nowhere. They're just arguing back and forth. And they were yelling louder, and they were screaming louder, when all of a sudden there was a real scream, not just a screaming because they're trying to figure out that the Rambam should be buried in their place, but a scream that there's some kind of a danger. And all of a sudden they saw there was coming a big gang of robbers, of Arabs coming through the desert, Arab robbers with their big swords up in the air, riding their fast horses, screaming. And they looked so dangerous and so mean, and they knew that these were desert robbers, Arab robbers of the desert, and they're coming now to the Eden that went by the Levaya. And the leader of the robbers is yelling to his men, look! A whole group of Jews with a big black box on top of a camel. It must be a treasure. These Jews are probably going through the desert with a treasure. And now let's get the treasure for us and rob that treasure. And whoever is going to stand in our way, whichever Jew will try to stop us from getting the treasure in that box, he's going to be finished. And let's get him. And the Arabs are riding with their swords pointed towards the Yidden. And the Yidden, Kenalach, they see that they're in big danger. And every Yid runs away to hide. Some of them go up into the hills, and some of them go behind the rocks, and some of them go behind cactuses, and some of them go behind other things to hide. And because they were so afraid, they ran away, and they left the camel with the Rambam alone. And the robbers, the Arab robbers, gathered around the camel. They thought this was a box of treasure. For some reason, they didn't recognize that it was a box that a person's inside. A dead person's inside. They thought it was a treasure box. And the leader of the robbers says, aha, we scared the Jews away! Aha! And now we have the box of treasure for ourselves! We're going to steal it without any trouble! Hey! I'm going to have the first peek inside. to see what's inside. Is it silver, gold, or diamonds, or maybe all of it put together? And the leader of the robbers goes up to the camel. He lifts up the lid. And he puts his big nose inside to have a look. And before he could even get his whole nose inside, together with his eyes, all of a sudden he screamed, "Ah!" And he fell back down dead on the sand. What happened? What happened to our leader? What happened? He looked in the box and he fell down dead on the sand. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. All the robbers got afraid. They said, "There's something scary in the box. Let's get out of here." And they were all afraid, and they went running back to their tents and to their houses, wherever they lived. And they went scared under their beds, crying, and they hid in the closets. And they went home, and they didn't come out for a few days. They were so afraid. And all of the Yidden came out, kinaloch, and they saw that they were saved by such a big ness. And everyone had calmed down. But now they have to go back to figure out, of course, what is going to be done with the Rambam. Now, kinaloch, before, as they were arguing before, one of the things they were doing were the people, for example, of Yerushalayim that wanted to take the Rambam to Yerushalayim, they started to schlep the camel to Yerushalayim. They started to schlep the camel because the camel has like a rope and you could pull it. They started to schlep the camel to go with them, but the camel wouldn't move. And the people that were from Tzfas, they wanted to take the camel to Tzfas, they would schlep the rope and the camel wouldn't move to Tzfas either. So the people from Chevron started to schlep the rope, and the people from other places, every time they start to schlep the rope, the rope does not pull the camel does not move, just like it was just glued to the place. And nobody had any success in schlepping that camel 1 inch going anywhere. And now when they came back, they didn't know exactly what to do now. And before anybody could say a word, all of a sudden, the camel started to go by himself. For the first time since they started arguing, the camel starts going by himself. And it starts going on the road towards Eretz Yisrael. And somebody had an idea. Hey, let's just go along with the camel. And let's let the camel go by himself. Let's see where the camel goes by himself. After all, if such a mess can happen with the Rambam, like it just did, to scare away the robbers. And we know that it's tzaddik. It says in the Gemara that a rasha, even alive, even a living rasha, he's alive, he's called dead. A tzaddik, even if he passed away, is called alive. Because even though the body dies, the neshama never dies. The neshama lives forever. The main life of a tzaddik in Allah is his neshama. And his neshama goes to Gan Eden, and it's still, of course, alive. The tzaddik is always alive. And even when he passes away, the neshama of the tzaddik is living, and it's even doing things into the world. It's even helping people in the world. The neshama of the tzaddik. And of course, every yid is a tzaddik, and every yid's neshama lives forever. So they said, let the camel go by itself, after all. It's carrying the Rambam. Who knows what kind of a guiding, of a helping Hashem is going to give this camel. Hashem knows the camel is carrying the Rambam, and Hashem knows that we're arguing, and that we can't figure out what to do. Let's just go with the way the camel is going. And it's down to Hashem that we should make this Levaya to be with Achdus and with Shalom and not with arguing like before. And the people were going along together with the camel. They passed Yerushalayim. The camel didn't stop. They passed Chevron, and the camel didn't stop. They passed other places. The camel didn't stop. Until they got to a place called Tiveria. Tiveria is up in the north of Eretz Israel. A very, very special halakha shtot. And when the camel came to Tiveria, all of a sudden, it came to a certain place in Tiveria, it kneeled down, and it showed that this is the place that the box should be put down. Because the camel got down, it kneeled down on its legs, crouching down, as if to place the box down on the ground. And the people realized, and they understood, this is the place that the Rambam should be buried. And so, they buried the Rambam in Tiveria. Until today, this is where his kever is. And it could be that your mommy or your tati or somebody in your family has visited the kever of the Rambam. I know when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I did. And of course many people have had the schus to go to the kever of the Rambam and say Tehillim or Minor Lashon or some halakha words and daven to Hashem by the kever of the Rambam. And that is for Chof Tevis the Maaseh. Now, by the way, that particular Maaseh, I think I told you this once, but I was in my house years ago, and I took down a sefer from the shelf wanting to read a Maaseh, and I read that Maaseh. And it said by the end of that Maaseh that Chof Tevis is the yahrzeit of the Rambam, and that was the day of Chof Tevis. And from that Maaseh I learned that the Rambam's yahrzeit is Chof Tevis, because I just happened to take down that sefer on Chof Tevis and read that Maaseh. And the end of the sefer, at the end of that Maaseh it said, and the Rambam's yahrzeit is Chof Tevis.